Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the weekly podcast. If you are not aware of everything that's out there and available to you on my website, take a peek, monicaswink.com. On Mondays, I'm putting up new blogs. On Wednesday, I'm sending out words of encouragement for you, hopefully helping you to get through the rest of your week. On Fridays, I'm adding new resources that you can use at your own time, at your own convenience, in your own space. And then on Saturdays, I am putting out podcasts that you can take with me in the car, or maybe like me right now with my cup of coffee, you can sit and have a cup of coffee and listen to the podcast. And starting the first week of January, there's going to be new video messages, video cast, I guess, starting each Thursday. So hopefully you're able to find some of the things that you need as you seek to find a different way of living or peace in living. And as I have been thinking about all those things that are going on, it's really got me thinking about this backside piece of my ministry and working to make resources more accessible to you. And in that, doing that, I've really been looking at what is it that I truly offer to you, to others, right? What is it that I'm giving you? Because you see, in ministry, if you're offering products or services with selfish intent, then you're no longer doing ministry. It doesn't mean that those things can't be provided, nor does it mean that those things can't be provided at a cost to others. But what it does mean is that if you think you're the owner over those things, then you've misaligned the work you're doing. So it's really given me a chance to kind of do a review and think about the things that I'm offering to you. And in thinking through that, I got kind of going nostalgic, I guess. It's only been a year, but going back through the different places I've been in the last 5 years when I was in seminary, I met some pretty amazing people, people who served the Lord passionately in a multitude of ways. And each of those people earn a wage for what they do. They're not the dean of a college or a pastor or head of a large or small church. They don't lead nonprofits, okay? They do those things physically. But what I mean is that these are their jobs because they're not sitting in the position of CEO. Not now, not ever, I promise. Because if they are, again, they're misaligned. Because you see, every job that those people do, it's with the intention of serving someone or something else. And that is their care to the world. But they also have another sense of serving. It's this serving of God or the creator of the universe, right? So their serving goes both directions, out to the world and up to the God or the creator of the universe. And this really got me thinking about what I do for others. What do I do for you? I actually would love to hear what it is I do for you, because I hope that you find some warmth or you feel some comfort in what you hear or see on my resources, out of my resources. But it really got me thinking about it, because I don't sit in an office. Well, I do. I actually really do sit in this little tiny office, but I don't do that or speak at an event or even write a book. By the way, there's a lot of writing going on right now. Workbook will be out hopefully the end of January, so if you're interested. But I don't do those things without somebody leaning over my shoulder. Let me explain. Yeah, I work for myself as we understand it in our human world. I ultimately care for every person with the judgment of the one who created those people looking over my shoulder, because I'm responsible for the care that I give to you, because God loves you way more than any person on this earth could do. And so When I say in my podcast or blogs that I'm journeying with you, it really is my goal to do just that. I spend time in my week praying for you. Even if I haven't met you, I promise I'm still lifting you up in prayer. And I'm always seeking guidance for the things that I put into print or speak into existence. I know for some of you that may make me look weak. It's maybe as if I can't be trusted to do the care for others on my own. Because in our world that we live in, there's a massive amounts of credit on the success of an individual. But this idea makes me look a little bit passive. But trust me, it is anything but passive. Rather, it is this placing of an amazing amount of trust in God to provide the exact product or service that's needed for each of you on the other end of that. And so that led me to my next thought. What exactly am I offering to others? I use the terms peace-filled living or transformation, healthy thoughts, healthy actions, but what do those things really mean? Well, it goes back to a central piece for me, one kind of core piece. It's that I believe each of us has a story to tell. In fact, a little squirrel moment here. Did you know that your life is actually a historical event? In fact, funny tidbit, my cousin once tried to change her birth date. It was fun listening to her story, but did you know that the courts told her no, that couldn't be done? Did you know that? I guess I had never thought about it before this occurred, but do you know why it can't be done? It's because the day of her birth is a historical event. Every minute that came before this one, this very minute we're in, and every minute that comes after that you've lived is a moment in the history of the world. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. It can't be undone, it cannot be changed, and it cannot be erased regardless of who you are or what you have done in the world, because it's a historical moment. But it's not just a piece of history. There's value in that. There's value in who you are. You see, you can never hide yourself away from the world. You can never not have impact on the world. Because even if you become some self-sufficient hermit and you never spoke to another human being again, you would have still created connection with others. Why? Because you were born and you will die. Simple facts. And I promise that you were not born alone. And I promise that even if you die alone, at some point, at some time, your life will meet someone else, or they will find that, right? We come across things like that all the time in archaeology and historical studies, or just randomly, right? I promise you can never hide yourself away from the world. Someone has seen you, regardless of how hard you try not to be seen. And that's what I care about. I care about your story. My goal is to come alongside of you and help you live into your story in the best possible way. You might have a great story. As in, you might have been loved by the parents of the year. You may have never had an argument in your life. Your marriage may be perfect. You may have children who not only bless you daily, but go into the world and bless it as well. I'm kind of lucky in that respect. I want you to understand that I'm not making light of this type of scenario. I truly believe that within this world, there are people who live life this way. And I'm grateful for that. They have conflict just the same. Some incredibly difficult moments in life, they don't escape difficulty or conflict, but they don't become tense in those moments. They don't fall under the weight of them. They work through them and then they move on. On the other side of that, I personally know many people who don't have this kind of story. In any scan of social media, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. As I look through my social media and I'm looking at the lives of people who I care about intimately, some of the things that I'm seeing are childhood traumas that are still impacting them now. I see these destructive divorces, and divorce can be so destructive. I see sadness in the loss of dreams. Incredible grief. Right now, the grief has been just so overwhelming. I see these seriously altering life changes that are going on in people's worlds. Terminal health concerns. These are just a few. But this is their story. And it was and it is mine at times. But I hope you are like me when I say, I don't want to surrender to these events. I don't want to succumb to the oppressiveness that these situations can create for me. The other hand of that is I also don't want to just live through them. I want to be able to breathe without crushing weight on my chest. And I think some of you do too. So when I say peace-filled, what I mean is I want you to experience life-sustaining air in these moments of trial. Okay? I want for you to be able to rest in the knowing that there's control in the chaos, because there is. I want you to be able to take steps forward each day with a peace of mind that even while you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, even while you can't see that, that you can put each foot down with the assurance that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And when I say the word transformation, there are a number of things that I really want you to take away from that. I first want you to recognize that you don't have to be stuck in a place that's undesirable for you. Most of us really only need to shift the way we receive information, we interpret it, and then we relay it to ourselves. But when we're able to transform those processes into healthy thought patterns, then we naturally respond with actions that align. This idea of transformation is not new. I follow many different leaders in their fields, doctors, psychologists, other religious scholars, but it goes even further back than them. In fact, all of my work that I do when I talk about transformation is derived from a few key verses that are written in the Bible. I teach from the image of the armor of God that we are told to put on in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. If you're not familiar with that, take a look at that. It's a great story. It's not a story. It's a great example of how to do life, right? Because that's what I use it for. And this for me is this idea of trusting that something greater than myself is leading the way. So when I am putting things out there for you, it's because I know that something greater is leading. Because centuries, if you think about when the books of the Bible are written, centuries of humans who followed this example in Ephesians chapter 6 have learned about healthier living. They haven't just left a powerful legacy without true transformation. These are real things that have occurred. These verses do not offer one option for making changes in life, but multiple. Which means they fit into every situation. All of those situations I talked about and all the ones I didn't mention, they fit right into that. And there are centuries of human lives that have proven that they do have transformational power. I combine these underlying truths with activities and discussions that are relevant to the time in which we are living in. For me, the outcome's not a temporary fix. It's this idea of developing a skill set that allows you to pull out your own individual tools needed for any given situation in order to honestly process, to respond in a healthy way, and ultimately to live at peace. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of outcome. As each of us works through our stories, we gain a new perspective for who we have been shaped into and who we are intended to be. This is a treasure. It's a treasure because it allows us to live out our story naturally. When we attempt to live life day to day, a lot of times we're reactionary. If we're not living into this transformed living, this healthier lifestyle I talk about. When we attempt to live into life day to day without having this inner settling in our core, and I don't really know the specific term for that, but I hope you get the understanding that there's an alignment that takes place in our core that when we're living into our story, we're not reacting. If we're using our story and our individual skill sets, we're either living moments through response, or even better, we're leading the way through those moments. Challenges are still challenges, don't get me wrong, but we're no longer trapped inside of the vicious circle of feeling or being overwhelmed. It's the way that I believe God intended life to be experienced. It's also what I believe that Jesus and the apostles talked about when they talked about being transformed into a new being, ultimately in Christ. It's no longer living in the physical, but in the spiritual. I'm going to let that settle a second. Because I'm not talking about spiritual in the sense that we walk around in this hypnotic stage, that we offer love and peace to everyone we meet. I don't know about you, that just drew up a 1960s image. What I'm suggesting is that as humans, we're not made up of one part, but many, many different pieces. If you've heard my podcast about being an apple, you may kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about here, but what I mean is that it's more than just the physical. I use this idea of an apple to explain that we are spiritual and we are also emotional and mental beings. I know this is a really broad idea for you. It's kind of tough in a podcast to draw you back into these smaller little pieces, but I hope what you'll see is that when we develop the individual skill sets needed to deal with difficulties, to combat those difficulties day to day, that we also learn how not to react out of the physical realm, whether that's tears, shouting, shutdown mode, whatever it is. We're learning how not to live into that physical. And we also don't respond out of the emotional or mental realm, which often is what drives much of the physical behavior. It's also sometimes this irrational thinking, words like, I'm not any good. This is never going to get any better. Why do bad things always happen to me? Instead, when we learn to utilize our skill set and our tool belt, as I call it, what happens is that we are able to combat these unnatural responses. It's with a transformed mind that we see the bigger picture much easier. We still may not be able to see the end of the current problems, but we know with certainty that there is an end. This is what it means to live healthy thoughts, healthy actions. I don't offer counseling. I don't offer spiritual direction. I offer individuals the opportunity to see their picture clearly and then to learn how to live into it using the healthiest options. Excuse me. It's because when we learn to live in this way, the world that we've never been privy to before is opened up to us. And I can tell you about it, but until you experience it, it's really not going to make any sense to you. There's more to it, right? It's seeing these things for the first time through the right set of eyes, if that makes sense. But for me, I also think there's another piece that's the glue to this. There are experts who teach on all these ideas, and one in particular that I follow, I'm not going to mention here, but he talks about this intricate working of the synapses in our brain. How each of these synapses is able to carry stored thoughts so that when we respond, we're often reacting automatically. He offers theories that humans are able to transform these negative thoughts, which again often lead to negative behaviors, into much more positive and socially appropriate ones. I think he's dead on in his research. Why? Because I personally have experienced some of this type of change. But I think that he's missing one key component. And this type of change without a relationship and trust in God does not always offer lifelong peace. It offers skills, it offers healthy response and actions, but it doesn't offer guaranteed peace. So what I'm saying to you here is you can walk through all of these stages with me. You can walk through them with anybody, and you can learn and develop your own skill set. But if you don't allow God to be at the center of that, there's no guarantee on that. I know we live in a world where there's not a lot of guarantees, but this one I believe in. And the reason I think that is because we simply can't do all of these things that I'm suggesting based on human ability. I love history, and I'm a continual learner. My husband calls me a book nerd? I don't know what his exact term is, but he makes fun of me because actually when we were dating, I'm not sure why he married me, because when we were dating, I used to open up encyclopedias and I'd get engrossed in them and I would read them for a long time. But as a history, I don't know if I'm a history buff or just somebody who loves history and a learner, there's one truth that I can never alter in my life, and that's the belief that if something is proven to work well and it's maintained a shelf life, then it's worth knowing more about. When that thing has lasted for centuries, or in this case, millenniums, without fault, then it's worth embracing. I know it gets picked apart on a lot of occasions, but when something lasts that long, it's really hard to not take a good look at it. I know not everyone can look at it from the faith side of things, but perhaps when it's viewed in this type of logical framework that I'm talking about, it might be easier to process. Either way, I believe that through God, transformation ultimately becomes solid and unchangeable in our human lives. So if you have ever wondered if you can benefit from a retreat, a workshop, or a personal session with me, I hope this clears that up for you. Take a look at my homepage. Again, I mentioned this at the beginning. You can find me at monicaswank.org or .com. I'm sorry, monicaswank.com. And you'll see the different ways that you can get involved. Right there on the homepage, there's multiple options for you. I work with groups as well as I do with individuals. So if you don't want to do this on your own, let's do a workshop. Let's do a retreat. There's also an email link on that homepage. Right down at the bottom, a contact button. That is there not just so you can reach out because you have a need, but I encourage you to ask questions there. I encourage you to make suggestions. What would you like to see? I'm always open to that. And as always, my friend, I am so grateful that we are taking this journey together. I love you. Have a great week.